Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I'm Philip Gilfus. I'm joined as always with my two strandaristas, Daniel Prue and Darren Moser. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Are we making coffee as well as being shredded on this planet?
Well, I hope so.
Okay.
I mean, you know what?
We're going full Garrigan's Island here. Full Gilligan's Island.
Of this headquarters, I always request coffee at this time.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let me just get out my clipboard. This is usually the part where we ask what we've done Star Trek lately, but you know what, guys? I fought it, and I'm going to stop fighting it. So I don't even care anymore. Darren, tell us about Star Wars.
Well, how did you know? I got to go see Solo, A Star Wars Story, this last week at the red carpet premiere in Hollywood. I know, that's so L.A. It's, you know, but no.
But wait, there's more.
But yeah, no, it was a...
Were you dressed in a tuxedo, Darren?
You know, I went one
Perhaps
better.
Perhaps a flowing gown of some sort?
One better, because why...
Did someone ask who you were wearing?
Everybody knew who you were wearing.
What manufacturer was I wearing? No, I got to go through the kind invite from Lucasfilm because of my L337 costume, which is the new full-size droid that is played by Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And as of now, the only costume in the world. I can probably confidently say that. I have seen...
World premiere costume.
Yes, but... Through severe lack of sleep, I was able to finish this costume by Thursday morning for the Thursday evening premiere event, and it was great. It was tons of fun. Gonna get to do it with a lot of my costuming friends, and got some great pictures. Got a picture with Paul Bettany, which was cool. Got a picture with Ron Howard and some of the other special effects people who helped put together the movie, so I'm still riding that high, but it was a lot of fun. And I got to meet Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who is the actress who plays that character, and that was a fun moment as she's like, oh, this is what it's like being in a Star Wars movie. Like, these are things that can happen. People show up in your costume. I'm like, yes, welcome.
See, I'm stuck on Ron Howard and what I would have him say just so I could feel like I was in an episode of Arrested Development.
I was thinking that the whole time. Well, Darren walks up to Ron Howard.
The voiceover he did on the Star Wars show, right? Because he, like you said, he does the voiceover for the beginning of the Arrested Development. He did one for the Star Wars show, but it's all cut with clips from like Solo. And it's like, it's a story about a guy and a girl and a droid and a this. And it's an Arrested, you know, sequel or something like that.
I imagine Darren walks up to Ron Howard. He gets a little starstruck, you know, not too much because he's from that area, so it's not a huge deal for Darren to meet celebrities. But he walks up to Ron Howard, gets a little nervous, so he says, "Oh, Ron, I'm your biggest fan." And then you hear the voiceover. He wasn't.
But he wasn't going to let Ron know that.
You should have been like, "Oh my God, you're Ron Howard. Yes, you are the Ron Howard. Yeah. Oh my God. Your brother's in Star Trek."
And now in Star Wars, I hear, as well.
Yeah, that's right. His brother has a cool scene in the Solo movie as well. So, but no, it was cool. And I was standing in the red carpet next to the fan pen, is what they call it, where all the fans were. But I was with a guy who was dressed as a Chewbacca. And so it was really cool because, I mean, I knew, like, the big draw of why people came over is because Chewbacca, like, you know, he's a very, very much a fan favorite. But it was great because we'd put the people between him and I, and we basically had an impromptu photo booth corner that people could just come up to. But it was great because Chewbacca talks, you know, he's got the voice, you know, modulator to do like a couple of the pre-scripted, you know, Wookiee sounds. But I had a voice modulator to say whatever I wanted. And so I love interacting with those kinds of characters because I can just make them say whatever, and it's just hilarious. Like, he could say something and be like, "I couldn't have put it better, Chewbacca," or, you know. But it's great. My go-to line was, you're getting a picture with the two best co-pilots in the galaxy, because L3 is Lando's co-pilot, and Chewbacca is Han's. And so it was great. It was a lot of fun.
I mean, just for authenticity's sake, Darren, could you not have had that lady who plays the character just follow you around and say those lines?
She was a little occupied at the moment, Daniel. All right, not committed to the role.
Okay, that's fine.
But but she did say it was surreal being next to L3, because I think, you know, because every time she's wearing the costume, it's her. Like, she was never next to like a double or something like that. So.
No stunt droid.
No stunt droids. Because as people may not know, unlike K2SO, who was completely motion capture, L337 was worn as a practical hard shell costume with a green undersuit. And so they digitally removed her from the exposed pieces,
okay, cool.
And added back in all the piping and wiring that you see in the film. So she actually was there on set in that place for every shot.
That's cool.
Yeah, which is, it's a beautiful mesh of visual effects and costuming. They actually completely created the character, you know, with all the piping, and then scanned it, and then that became the digital copy of what the internal pipes would become that they would re-add later. So I got to meet quite a few of the visual effects people who were on the carpet, and obviously were drawn over to my costume. And that was a lot of fun. So,
well, if folks want to see more of your journey, where can they find such photographs? And such?
They can find pictures on my website and my Instagram. My Instagram is Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi, and website is drsci-fi.com. So I'm slowly trickling those out, so I don't run out of all the pictures I have just yet. But it was a really fun time, and I was taken good care of by my friends, as I cannot put that costume on or take it off by myself. So,
cool. So you know, with the pace that these films are coming out, ever increasing, Darren,
what's the next one?
I hope you're prepared to quit your job, and this is just going to be your thing now. You're going to be the new Star Wars dude.
I
smell an opportunity with Lucasfilms. I don't know how they're letting you, you know, that I think after a certain point, if they ask for a third costume, Darren, you're like, at this point, I don't volunteer for this. let me see. There's some of that Lucas money.
The one I'm eyeing next is Jon Favreau's TV series, which is going to take place, I think, 7 years after Jedi. So it's after the Battle of Jakku, which is like the final hurrah of the Empire. But it's still like 20 some odd years before the events of The Force Awakens. So it's a nice big chunk of time that we haven't covered yet. But it's post, you know, you could have some cameos because it's still post Return of the Jedi. It's not prequel-esque. So we'll see. I'm like, we need a new droid for Darren to make.
So yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, Daniel, top that. Yeah. No, I mean, Daniel, have you
been
doing
anything?
Daniel,
what did you do last week?
Any Trekkie, or I'll accept Wars.
How's that watch-through going, Daniel?
I did one.
I am shocked.
Which
one was it?
I'm early in the A's now. I watched The Abandoned. A season 3 Deep Space Nine episode where Quark comes across a casket, a little some salvage that has a baby Jem'Hadar in it,
and it turns out
it grows super
Jem'Hadar
fast.
Grow very very quickly, and
at the end he joins the.
Yeah,
is Odo the character in that?
It
episode?
Is. It's Odo. Yeah, okay. Odo takes him under his wing. It's basically like a lot of Star Trek, like a pretty big chunk of Star Trek. It's a nature versus nurture episode.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's been genetically programmed. He wants to kill all these people. It's a solid episode. I believe it's the first, maybe not the first, but it's one of the early ones directed by Avery Brooks himself.
Uh-huh.
So it's real.
It's a good episode, and it gives you a lot of background to the Jem'Hadar, who up to that point were very mysterious and kind of new, and we don't really
kind
of
know
the
enemy,
them.
You know.
Yeah, and it was where Julian, you know, learned about Catcher Cell White and all that sort of stuff. This you know, going through these episodes, this rewatch is really interesting because you just jump in at random points. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool just to jump in. You know, when you've seen them so many times chronologically or, you know, in universe, just to go and pick an episode from the middle of something like this, you know, not all these episodes are like this because some of it's a little more episodic, but just to go and pick an episode like this, you actually, I think you gain a little bit of appreciation for some of the little elements that you wouldn't have picked up on otherwise if you were kind of just really into the story. So, good. It was a good episode. And next one for me will be A Session, which I don't know much about. I can't remember anything specifically. That's another Deep Space Nine episode.
I was going to say it sounded like.
Yeah, yeah. But then after that, it's Acquisition, which is the Enterprise Ferengi episode. Yes. So, yeah. So those will be my next rewatch bits there.
Though I think I should quibble. Isn't there a Voyager episode that's called One? And really, shouldn't it just be a numeral
instead?
But
it's O-N-E. It's O-N-E. Yeah.
I know, but I think that's a cheat.
Well, it's not like 110001 is going to be spelled out. Like, that would be just...
Oh, yeah, that would be... Yeah.
Too big on the text.
The only thing, I did go to Free Comic Book Day, which I know was not this weekend as we record, but last weekend. I did pick up the Star Trek Next Generation Mirror Broken, which I know is kind of a quote-unquote older series at this point. I mean, it's a few months old. But that was a Free Comic Day offering.
Was that the one with Jacked Picard?
Yes.
Yes, oh, yeah. Yep.
Sleeveless Picard is the best Picard.
And then I got two Doctor Who's. I got a Buffy the High School Years. I got a Strangers in Paradise by Terry Moore. I got a Simpsons one, and then a Spidey one.
So you're one of those free buffet peoples. Oh, it's Free Comic Book Day. I'm going to take one of these, and one of these, and one of these, and one of these.
And I actually, you know what I also got? And this is also something, because it was free. It was a Magic the Gathering starter set.
Ooh.
I've never... Well, actually, that's not true. I did play it once, but I still don't necessarily understand it.
I've played it a couple of times.
It has come with rules and everything, so it's something to learn.
Wait, there are Simpsons comic books?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Interesting. I had no idea. Yeah, okay.
You know, it's the longest-running comic book series. No, it's not. It's not. Well, speaking of long-running things, Star Trek. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Dears, people.
Way to bring it back, Philip. Way to bring it back.
But what we're going to talk about today is actually the very beginning of Star Trek, the very first episode of Star Trek ever. So that's not where man has gone before. No, my friends, it's not the Man Trap. None of those. Which one was first? No, it's the one before all those, and that is the Cage. It's with Captain Christopher Pike, number one, you know, the Enterprise.
The doctor who's also a bartender, who's also a doctor.
Yes, Dr. Philip Boyce, all the other folks. And so, and this isn't going to be an episode review per se, or an overview, but, you know, we're going to maybe talk a little bit about the episode, but then we're going to talk about kind of, you know, as Discovery, you know, looks at season two to begin this whole Captain Pike Enterprise experience. I can't remember the name of the actor off the top of my head, but he did a video recently of him getting the Pike hair.
Oh, the new guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's actually a very active tweeter. Or somewhat active tweeter. So, I mean, he seems very enthusiastic about the new role as Captain Pike. So he certainly seems to be joining the franchise very happily. But, you know, just talking about the themes, things that will pop out, things that we would like to see explored, and we'll go from there. So let's just keep it simple for now. So this is, like I said, guys, the first episode of Star Trek ever. You know, whether it's of the time or looking at through 2018 eyes, Daniel, what did you think?
It's weird, right? It's weird.
Too cerebral.
It's, it's so strange to go back to this episode. You can't take this episode for kind of what it was without accepting it for what Star Trek sort of transitioned into. You know what I mean? Like, we look at it and we see, oh, the uniforms are off and, Spock is really shouty, and you know who's this number one
character?
Hasn't
trimmed we look his at hair it in a while. It's a little raggedy around the brow.
We look at it, and or at least I do. I look at it and I see sort of all the things that are wrong, quote unquote, wrong with it. You know, different than what we're used to seeing in TOS. But if you kind of take it for you know, at its own merit, at its own value, it's a really interesting story. I mean, we only have this one story, but it's a kind of a really cool concept. Something that we hadn't seen a lot before. Well, I say we, like I was around when this came out. But you know, on TV and stuff, a really novel idea. And it feels really Star Trek-y to the core. Even though like the bits, the end points are a little strange and a little different. The story, the moral, the pacing, and all that sort of stuff really does feel very... It does feel like it's boiled down Star Trek. And I like The Cage. I like it a lot. I like it for a lot of reasons. I like it for the weirdness. I actually kind of like how weird it is and how strange it feels. And I'm sure we'll talk about it too, but I really like Captain Pike a lot. So
I like it as Pike. I mean, I was just trying to picture what if this had been like, what would this be like with William Shatner in the lead? And I think it's actually best as this other captain. And, you know, because Pike is not Kirk as far as the character, at least it doesn't feel like it. I mean, you get some similarities in the other characters, like obviously Spock is Spock, and the Doctor's kind of bedside manner is carried through to DeForest. But I feel like this is a clean-cut military man. We learn that he's, you know, tired, you know, of... Like, our Jim Kirk doesn't get tired for at least several more movies. But, but no, it's... And it's also like the was it Talosians? You know, they're actually kind of scary because of their ability to make you misperceive reality. Like, I love the escape scene where Pike's like, I'm willing to bet he shoots the phaser and nothing happens. Like, I'm willing to bet that actually blew up the wall and you're just not letting us see it. And then he aims it at his head and he's like, let's find out. And it's like, you have to think 3 steps ahead. Or even then, like, they could be up on the surface and they're like, how do we even know if we're actually on the surface? Like, when you can't trust reality, it makes it really difficult to do anything.
You just look for that one Talosian about to drink the tea, or what is it, roll the dice?
Or that's sweating or something like that. Yeah.
But anyway, two quick things that I was amazed about, because this is, what, 65, I want to say off the top of my head?
Yeah, probably.
Feel free to correct me. Well, for one thing, I was watching it on Netflix, and I was actually surprised, and maybe I shouldn't have been, that it was all in color, because I've watched this all in black and white before. I've watched it mixed, where the portions they used in the menagerie were in color, and the portions they did it were in black and white. But on Netflix, it's all color, which is really cool. I don't know if this is the first time.
This was originally aired in February 1965.
Yeah. But the second thing, and maybe because I'm also stuck in the classic Who era of Doctor Who, which I know it's, you know, the British television is different from American television in the 60s, but I was struck by the pacing, very modern. I mean, it wasn't, you know, I mean, could it have been cut a little bit? Yeah. But I mean, it's still great pacing. And also the story, like you said, Darren, of introducing the element of, it's almost a great pilot idea that the captain, you know, wants to hang it all up. And this whole episode brings him back to like, oh yeah, this is why I want to be the captain of the Enterprise. Let's go. I mean, I can't think of any mini 60s shows where there's like a pilot like that. It's such a character moment.
Right.
Instead of, it's just more to the situation of, hey, we're in space.
Right.
And
it's
that's
a situation, but it's also at this like he's a day away from retiring practically. Like, you know, once they got to that star base, he's like, I'm done.
It's so funny because rewatching the episode really made me think, I know there was kind of a course correction for the JJ films with Beyond. And I really think they pulled that element out of The Cage and like transplanted it into Beyond with Kirk's whole, like, should I retire? It feels weird in Beyond because Kirk is so young and like it hasn't been that many years, but there are like conversations that feel like direct echoes to this sort of Pike's attitude in this movie. And it was just really interesting, I thought.
It's been a while since I've seen Beyond, but isn't there a scene where Bones is kind of doing that whole, like, someone will tell your doctor versus your bartender? I can't recall if there's a line.
There's a TOS scene in Balance of Terror.
Okay.
If you remember,
I do
this
know
one,
we get
the
something
one,
beyond the cage.
Where you get a similar scene to this, where, you know, Kirk is like, you know, it's the whole, all he asks is a tall ship and a star to steer by, but then it's like the whole,
don't
I look
destroy
around
the one
Bones, and they're all
named Kirk
looking at me. And, you know, yeah, exactly, that whole scene. Yeah. And that's basically very reminiscent of this.
And all this, and a little bit more, only one of each of us. Don't destroy the one named Kirk.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a great scene.
No, anyway. It's a good scene. There were some other, like, visual effects things that were, like, out there. in the fact that, like, when they first go to, like, time warp, like, they like, time and warp is, like, a big thing, apparently, but, like, they're...
Which is actually a better description yeah. when you really come down to it.
Yeah, because you're, it's, like, it's not only a speed, but it's, like, how much perceived time has passed, you know, to get back to Earth or something like that. But when they start going, it's, like, the whole ship kind of phases, and, like, the stars are literally whipping through the bridge, and I'm like, that would actually be a really interesting, like, every time they're at warp, like, it's like they're literally phased into the stars. I'm like, I mean, that would be crazy to shoot, but...
And you also hit the soundtrack button.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Do, 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 we are the pilot. I mean, and of course, like, good 1965, you have blatant misogyny right there on the bridge.
But it's interesting. It's almost calling itself out. You know, it's saying, I'm not used to a woman on the bridge, but there is. There's a woman on the bridge.
As the first
second
officer,
in command.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, but I mean, you're right there. I'm not trying to, but it's almost calling itself out of, like, this is unusual, but it is what it is. You know?
Yeah, it feels more like it's speaking to 1960s audiences than it is to some sort of progressive idea that women should be on the bridge. More like, oh, yeah, what is this other human being doing here on the bridge? It's weird, but, like, you know, it's...
I mean, he does
could
say
be
that
subversive
when he leaves
way.
Her on the bridge, like, when they all go down, he does say, like, I'm leaving the most competent person in command of the ship. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. like, a backhanded compliment as it is, but, you know, we'll take
but
it.
But then it would be, you know, then we can know we would not see a woman in command, at, like, first officer or otherwise, for decades after this. So,
yeah. Well, that's not true. Philip, you're forgetting the esteemed Captain Georgiou, who was at this point already captain. So there must be some sort of confusion going on here, but
exactly.
We won't get into that.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well,
you
and you know, any other
which are cool, like where they have the phasers like underneath, and they're like mm-hmm. so they're packing.
And it is nice to see the you know the their actual phaser. I think laser cannons is how I once seen them described. But anyway. You do see how the Discovery sort of melded between the cage
like,
and TOS.
Well, it's like the old style Bolex lenses where it's like to zoom, you literally like rotated a better lens in front of the camera to, you know, that's how you did it.
And I also like the idea of, I don't know what you would call it, larger arms or mounted, like the cannon, the phase cannon, that's my word. I don't know what you use the word they use, but the phase cannon they use, like we've never seen that used ever in Star Trek, but like it makes sense. Obviously you'd have, you know, some weaponry on there that's in between a hand phaser and like the ship's phasers.
Right. It's like ship phasers, like class 10, hand phasers, like class 1. Like there's gotta be something like a class 4 in the middle. And it's, but it's, although I didn't really fall in love with any of the other characters beyond Pike and like, so I'm glad that like pretty much Spock's the only one that survived past this pilot. But
I liked Dr. Boyce, but I don't like him more than Bones.
Yeah.
So
they're basically interchangeable.
They are. I still liked him.
And the bridge felt, I mean, you're talking about color earlier, Philip. I felt that the bridge had way less color. I mean, not just the fact
blue.
Well, not just, I'm not just talking about their orange. Their their uniforms, but like I think it's missing that red rail around it and a lot of other accent pieces where by the time we see it, although there were some other things that they did better that I feel that later TOS didn't do, like when Spock,
everyone had their little personal screen or whatever.
Yeah, everyone had little personal screens, and when Spock's like calling out things, and it's like they're displaying actually useful information on the screen instead of like
they had touchscreen.
Yeah,
where did that go?
But it's like later, swipe. It's like it's something out there, and we're just looking at stars, and I'm like, there's not another sensor view, like give me a dial or like something, you know? Nope, got to see stars.
So you know, we kind of talk about something. So let's go to characters for a little bit. We can go to details after that. But so characters, so Captain Pike, now that you've sort of seen the Jeffrey Hunter, Captain Pike, what do you hope to see in, I really should look up the guy's name, sorry, but what do you hope to see in the Discovery Captain Pike, Darren?
I was just going to say, I like both versions of Pike we've gotten. I like them equally, and I like both the Jeffrey Hunter and the Bruce Greenwood versions of Pike, I think have brought a sort of gravitas to the character, a sort of like an older captain before, you know, because obviously we have Kirk later on, but this sort of older established captain who is very competent, like really super competent, knows his stuff, you know, but he has his issues that he has to deal with. But I think Pike is a super strong, interesting character. Every time that we've been given him, and granted it's been limited, obviously, I really hope that they kind of open that up a bit. We get to learn a bit about where Pike comes from. If we're going to go down the prequel route, we might as well, right? You know, what gives him his strength? What sort of gives him his leadership abilities? Because he certainly has them in spades, both in here in the cage and in other versions of the character we've seen. So we don't need to prequelize him. We don't need to, like, he doesn't need to learn to be a good captain. I hope we don't have to do that.
Well, first let me set the stage. Okay. All right. This is a reminder. Sorry. And I should have said this at the beginning. So the cage, presumably, and I'm going off memory alpha here, and it's kind of sketchy, but this is 2254 is the cage. Discovery, or at least the last episode of Discovery, I believe, is 2257. So it is 3 years past the cage.
Mm. What? Okay, so, wait, what?
Yep.
Really? This is supposed to take place after the cage?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I thought
this was pre the cage.
No.
Oh, that changes my whole view of things. I have to think about things now.
Okay, so I'll let you resettle. So, yeah. Darren, what do you think? Because, I mean, I don't think they really state how long the Enterprise or Captain Pike has been in service. Maybe they did and I missed it, but I don't think they did. But, you know, you presume it's not, you know, it's been more than a few months. Cause yeah. He's certainly been through some stuff, to say it lightly. But what do you hope to see? This is going to be Anson Mount. Anson Mount is going to be your new Chris Pike for Discovery. But what do you hope to see him bring to the Captain Pike role?
Well, there's also the novel, The Desperate Hours, which is the first of the Discovery novels. And I've read both of them so far. And that one actually has Giorgio and Pike and a couple others and Spock on a mission together. So we've already technically seen Christopher Pike in the Discovery time.
How is he portrayed in the book?
Very, very similar to the show. I mean, he's very commanding, very respected. Like, people know his name. Like, it's not like...
We know now Discovery is already referenced, right?
Right.
That he is one of the greatest captains.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep. Saru's like, list exactly greatest right. captains, insert my yep. name.
It was what, Robert April?
It was Captain April, Pike, it was Archer, and Giorgio. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Rando, right? Wasn't there?
No, there was no Rando. It was all stuff we heard. That was the point. That was something that was a point of contention. That it was Archer, Giorgio, April, Pike, and that was it, I think, so... Yeah. Interesting. Oh, God, I had no idea. Discovery already took place after the cage.
Yes.
My mind is blown.
The cage, Discovery, TOS, or at least Kirk, if you want to use that.
So, see, they got to keep the cage as the pilot of pilots, you know. I mean, besides that.
So they have no excuse. Spock has to be on the ship.
Yeah.
He has to be on the ship.
Well, you know,
I believe Jonathan Frakes has revealed we will see a young Spock.
Young Spock.
What is that? And they
flashback Spock.
No, he can't be a flashback. He has to be on the bridge of that.
See, when you said young Spock, I thought like little kid Spock. We were going to look back.
That's what I was thinking too.
Well, but think about it. Last time we saw Spock, he was old Spock in the movies. So,
well, by any definition, he would be young. Oh, Lordy.
Yeah, no, I thought it was that they had cast a young kid as a flashback Spock.
With Michael and
they should just have Zachary Quinto be the Spock and just say like we're just not even caring at this point.
Screw it, guys.
I think it will melt some people's minds.
Yeah.
But if they do it, I would be impressed with their boldness if they actually went for that.
To go boldly. I mean, so this is going to be a bit of a jumble here, but we'll go ahead and attempt it in a jumble fashion. So, would you want number 1 to still be there?
Yes, you have to have number 1.
Yeah, number 1 and Spock should be the two characters that you should even care about.
Yeah, I don't think any of the other characters are memorable at all.
You could recast Dr. Boyce.
Dr. Boyce, yeah, I like that too, and I didn't know his name. I just know him like, he's the only other guy I remember, but I don't know his name. Looking at the wrong thing, I apologize. He is Lieutenant Jose, which you never hear is his first name, but basically the other guy.
The redhead guy, look up his name.
Yeah, so, you know, Tyler. Lieutenant Jose Tyler, I believe, is supposed to be his script name.
I don't think we need him. But I honestly just the Pike, Spock, and Number One,
and Boyce,
and maybe we'll find out her actual name because obviously.
Why not? Okay, if you're gonna have the ship, oh God, I don't know if this is where you meant to go with this topic, Philip.
That's fine, go ahead.
But we're gonna be talking about it. If you're gonna have the ship, just fill it with the characters that we supposedly should know at this point. That's fine. Who cares? Like, only know five characters from the Enterprise in this era, those five characters should be on the ship. It's fine if you recast them or you want to kind of put them in a different light, whatever, that's fine. Just make sure those five characters are on that ship.
Mm-hmm. Even by name. But
yeah, even by name. Otherwise, what's the point?
It honestly, just seems silly to do it. You know, that made me think of something, Daniel. Like, I would not be opposed to them, you know, recasting a young Spock for TV who becomes the Spock that we see going forward. The same thing kind of happened with Star Wars, where there's now an actor, his name's Junis, he is Chewbacca. He is now the actor who plays Chewbacca in all the movies, and that mantle has been passed. Now, obviously, it's different in that character because it's a costume that, you know, he doesn't age. But I think, you know, I would be fine with if they're like, this is the actor we're going to have playing Spock now. And
I'd be fine.
And, I mean, you know, Leonard Nimoy has passed.
It's
going to
be, well.
Well, the problem is that they're not committed. And that's the thing. I agree. If they want to make this person Spock, who turns into Spock, but is obviously not played by Leonard Nimoy, that's fine. That if you said this is Spock, then you open the whole world. You say we can recast anybody,
right?
And that's fair game. If that's what you want to do, that's fair game. But if you want to tiptoe around it and you never actually address the problem, either you somehow incorporate, you know, old footage or whatever. That seems sloppy. I would just say go for it. Recast Spock. That way you can recast Kirk later on. You could recast all those characters, and then you can have a crossover. Otherwise, why do a prequel? If you're not going to introduce elements
from
the original series.
So close to the TOS era.
Right.
Yeah. Why would you do it if you don't want to play with those characters? That's why I'm frustrated with Discovery. That's why it's so annoying. And that's why it's annoying now that they won't even commit to tell us, oh, there's going to be a young Spock. Okay, thanks. We don't know what that means. If you're going
we'll
to play
in
this sandbox,
season comes out.
If you're going to play in this sandbox, at least just do it. Just do it and commit, because this is frustrating.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I'm one of those people. You don't have to tell me anything, honestly. But I know they already have. So if you're going to go in for a penny, go for a pound. But like, I mean, I'm sort of waiting, and this is my preference. But again, you know, do whatever you want, Discovery. But like, they've announced Captain Pike, which I guess you have to do, right? You've literally named him, you know, in Discovery, and he's the Enterprise. You have to sort of. I guess that would be your lead person, though everyone's kind of been waiting for Spock. But then, like, and I forget, Darren, did either of you know that top of your head when season two, or do we have an official season two date?
Oh, when
it
comes out?
It's definitely not 2018. I'm pretty sure.
It's early next year.
It's early 2019.
So it's early days, obviously. In fact, I don't even know why they kept named. I mean, this is too early. But anywho, I guess if you just want to stay relevant and people. Anyway. But I'm waiting for, like, the number one casting news. Like, literally, number one. Who's going to be number one?
Right.
And then, you know, you start drip-drap, you know, every 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Here's the. And then you're like, oh, yeah, of course. It's the Enterprise crew of the Cage. But it all makes sense.
Yeah, I see, like, a little trailer that, like, builds up to what season two is going to bring us. I mean, we're basically.
You could
now...
even do. And this is, again, coming from the Doctor Who world. I don't know if both y'all, saw, the 12th Doctor's last one, Twice Upon a Time, the Christmas special, but they had a gentleman playing the first Doctor who had played him before. But anyway, but it was kind of full because the way they started the episode, they had the original footage of the first Doctor and then they sort of meld him into the new actor doing that exact scene. And then you go from there. So it'd be cool to kind of have sort of like. Some scene from the Cage, and then you meld it into the people that are in that sort of same. Of course, the problem is they're going to redesign the whole thing. But I mean, we haven't got a design; we're just doing characters for now. But anyway, it's just a technique or a thought. But
and there's plenty of Doctor Who is probably the best example of it, because it's kind of baked into the show that you can have an actor play the same character over and over and over again. It's also a little different because that character does change significantly with each new iteration. Star Trek hasn't had that experience yet. And in fact, the one time Star Trek has done it with 09, it kind of caused a schism in the fan base. Like, you people were freaking out. These people are not the same people. It's like, but okay, fine. If you want to keep retreading this old ground, we have to do, we just have to accept the fact that it's not going to be Leonard Nimoy playing Spock, and it's not going to be, you know, we're not going to have William Shatner playing Kirk. And maybe they're doing it by trickling it with Pike here and Number One, and then maybe we'll get Spock and who knows. I don't know if I trust.
And I'm not trying to bring this as a contentious issue, but if you will allow the parallel thinking, they've already recast the Enterprise.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah. And actually, I thought it was.
When, how many times did they recast, like, Spock, Sarek's wife, Amanda, has been several different actors.
They even changed her name.
And Sarek, yeah.
But here's the thing. The Enterprise, I thought, you say it was recast. I think even the fandom kind of accepted it pretty, kind of overwhelmingly. Like, people were like, okay, the changes were small and subtle.
Right.
But kind of expected and needed,
like,
even.
I didn't expect it to look like it flew out of the 60s. Like, honestly, that would be out of place in the Discovery universe.
I think if they take that design, that whole motif, and they went with it, again, it's still a bold choice because Star Trek fans are sticklers for kind of how what's come before. I think they could be successful at it. I just don't want them to not commit to doing it. I don't want them to be too afraid to just go for it, because at this point, why not? You're in it.
I mean, you're either going to piss them off or not, so just piss them all off. You know, yeah. I'm being serious. You know, you're going to be getting people either way, so just go for it. So talking about design and things. By things, I'll explain in a second. But I feel like I've seen stills, because again, I didn't watch the teaser for season 2 of Discovery. I guess that has uniforms and stuff and all that stuff. But, I mean, I've seen the still, which looked like it was from the Enterprise. It had, like, some design of, like, the way the deck looked or the door looked.
Oh, yeah. And
it, of course,
it
looks very Discovery.
And the registry on the door was the same as Spock's quarters, but it wasn't, like, the little tiny, like, printed black placard.
Yeah.
You know.
Like a 1960, yes. But, and so, it's obviously going to look very different. I mean, the bridge, you know, whatever. I will get over it, but they're going to mess it up, and that's going to... redesigning the bridge is a lot to ask. Like, you do a lot of things, but, like, dude, make it look like the bridge, but you're not, because it's Discovery, so it's going to look like 10 times the size, and, oh, well, whatever, right? I guess whatever. I'm going to get over it now, right? Just get over it. So, but anyway, that said, so, like, the little things. So, like, for instance, when we, Daniel, you were talking earlier about, you know, this is the Star Trek, and you kind of see the things that are going to change, but, like, why did we get rid of away team jackets? Like, really? Was that the budget item that killed them and they couldn't do it in the TOS series? Like, that makes sense. It had pockets. I saw you could put stuff in there during the away team or the landing party, I suppose I should say. So it was like, it'd be cool if they had sort of little things like that where, you know, you still had jackets, you know, for the landing parties, or you still had, you know, the little intercom things as an homage to the design, or just things like that. But I don't know, were there any other design aspects or anything that you're hoping they would keep or at least modernize,
you
know, but you
still I think it would be really funny if there was something on the bridge that was a modernization of that gooseneck little tiny screen.
Like, yeah, that's what I was talking about, the little intercom.
Yeah, like something like that. Like, I don't know how they would do that, but you know, that's one of those things that's so visible and recognizable from that time with the cage, because they didn't keep those into the original series.
Right.
But that's kind of has more of like a Space 1999 feel.
Yeah. And all things, I think to me, things that seem old in design, you can still have and maybe make them look different, but like we still can't do things that we said we were going to do. I mean, you know, there's little things, but like, I can't communicate to a planet with a little communicator now.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what it looks like. It still looked like it did in 1960, as long as it still does the thing it says. True. So you're like, well, that looks old. Well, yeah. Does your cell phone communicate to a planet in space? Well, then shut up. It can look however you want it to look like, you know? So, I mean, but I did sort of like the old communicator, you know, and it sort of basically looked like the TOS without casing. Which I thought was cool.
Yeah, yeah. The ones in the cage look like the prototype. Like they're like barely held together. It's like this is like a field thing that's like not gonna break if I drop it in some dust. But no, I think if it's at its core, you know, I mean, obviously the bridge is gonna have like the full head to toe screen window because that's just the thing we do now with all our bridges.
With holographic,
yeah, which, but we also have, you know, I mean, I want to see Jackets, I want to see Pike, I want to see Spock, I want to see Number One. Honestly, if it's mostly Number One and Pike, which makes sense, you know,
right,
then I'm fine with that. And then we just have Spock in like his quarters with a scene with Burnham. You know.
No, man, he's he went away on a conference, Darren.
Yeah.
If they do that,
he just missed him.
I will rage quit.
Yeah,
Discovery.
Yeah.
I will absolutely.
That's
rage
a bit.
Quit,
that's a bit. It's like, come on, guys. You put it in this time period. You literally have them meet the Enterprise, and now you're gonna just back away from the fact that Spock is there. It's like, really.
I'm not even kidding. I will stop watching the show if they don't if they don't act. It would upset me to... Oh, boy. Yeah. So this is... You chose this timeline. This is where you wanted to be. Man, I would get so upset.
You know, guys, it's going to be fine. They're going to cast Spock. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Here's the thing. If they are... Yeah, they probably are. And if they're doing this as sort of a smokescreen, as sort of a... Try to keep it the spoilery sort of... You know, trying to keep it a secret and surprise, you know. Kind of like who is John Harrison sort of thing.
Oh, dear Lord.
Which no, it's going to be Spock, Daniel.
Which like, works so Spock. Successfully, right? If they want to keep it on the down low and they're trying to keep it secret, that's fine. Even if they want to... Like you said, Darren, maybe there's going to be one scene at the end with Spock and Michael in Spock's quarters.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason, he's preoccupied throughout the episode, but they still do have that one scene.
And Sarek, by the way, he's on board as well.
And Sarek is there, so he would have to have it as well. If they wanted to do like a family reunion sort of situation, it's just the last scene of the episode and then whatever. That would be okay. As long as he's there in some capacity. If there's like you say, Philip, oh, he's off on a way mission, or you know, he's in Ponfar right now. So I would be so. I think I'd stop watching the show because that's cheating and that's not fair, and you're really robbing your fans of what they want to actually see. So.
Well, I think we give the writers accommodation for original thinking.
They're all chewing apples in the Discovery right room. Anyway, sorry about that.
No. Yeah. So no, I like I said, and I'm trying to think of this, not having watched Discovery and refusing to watch it again. I'm just trying to think of the things that, you know, because they have the modern transporter. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. The TOS transporter in the cage, and they did like the two person operator. That was kind of cool to see that little old school. You know, and we didn't get to see a lot of ship, obviously, because of budget reasons. Like, we built a bridge, we built a transporter room, built a hallway. What more do you want from us? We built a very small cabin with a bed that doesn't fit them. But yeah. Yeah. So I think it would be cool, and like Darren, you said, I did read that novel, Desperate Measures, and Captain Pike is sort of a by the book ish. I mean, he recognizes moral quandaries, but he will follow orders.
Yeah.
Over not following orders, though he will look for every loophole. He's kind of a Captain Picard ish, a little bit more, you know, a little less bookish. But you know.
So well, okay. Well, if this takes place post Cage,
right?
But will we see the is this the same period of time that we'll see what happens to Pike, or is this not the right period of time? Because could this be like could this be that event?
No. Well. As memory recalls, this would be going to the Menagerie episode of Star Trek: The Two Parter, the only two parter in TOS. Would based on my memory, which could be wrong. There was a change of command between Pike and Kirk, and then Pike had some assignment, and then that's when the accident
happened.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
It wasn't like a precipitate, like 2000, like JJ, where
right.
The accident made the change of command, and then he went beep, beep.
Beep. Or maybe just beep. Beep. Yeah.
All right, guys, well, any final thoughts on the cage and what it, now that you've kind of gotten a chance to refresh your minds with the source material and what it may bring for season 2, episode 1, Star Trek Discovery, title TBD.
I hope...
other than no Spock equals rage quit.
Yes. No Spock equals rage quit for me. Absolutely. I hope that, and I assume, here's the thing, like, look, these people are professional writers. They're not dumb people.
Are they? No, just kidding.
No, they're not. And they're know, Star Trek fans, you know.
Presumably, they're Star Trek fans. Somebody made the point at some point to make a prequel, and somebody approved it. So I don't, anyways, fine. You're a professional writer. You're writing for Star Trek Discovery. You've been put in a tough spot now, right?
And also, I mean, not to interrupt you. Now, this, to the extent that, I'm blanking on his name, the guy who started Discovery.
Oh, Fuller, Brian Fuller.
Fuller is not involved now. Like, I mean, you know, to the extent that he made things, season two is a way there's not going to be a Brian's influence. I mean, at all, well, theoretically. And
yeah.
So but, it's a chance for Aaron and what's her face to sort of do what they want to do. You know, but, if but you had to do Star Trek Discovery, so you can do a little bit of a reset.
Yeah. To be fair, I mean, I think Fuller's original idea was to do an anthology show anyways. Like every mm-hmm. season was its own sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But anyways, well, yeah, whatever. That's neither here nor there. Anyways, mm-hmm. if you are now put in the position where you have to write, you're given the situation, you have to write this season two introduction episode. I don't envy your position. It's tough. That's rough. And that's hard to get past. But I say go bold. Be big. Make big leaps. Just dive into the situation headlong. Spock's there the whole time. He's a major character. Pike's a big character. You know, number one, expand that character. Go wild with number one. We don't know anything other than for number one, other than the cage. Anyways, you can do anything you want with that character. So
could have learned a lot in those 3 years.
Yeah, totally. Mm. And make her a major Star Trek player. If you're gonna play in this sandbox, you know, play with all the toys. Why would you hold back? So. Otherwise, you're gonna really upset people like me who want to see that sort of stuff. So yeah, I would say go big or go home at this point.
And Darren, what about you? Any final thoughts on the cage and what it means?
Yeah, I think you know it's a good episode. It's a good pilot, you know, and it has some memorable characters.
Apparently not, Darren. Apparently wasn't.
It's aged well. I'll give it that. but yeah, so I want to see Pike. I want to see a lot of Pike this season. I don't want to see him for one episode. I want to see him and number one.
Wait, more than Georgiou or less than Georgiou?
More
Darren?
Than Georgiou. I don't care okay. as much right. about evil Georgiou. You know.
Now, what if it's evil Pike?
God, I really hope they don't go back to the mirror universe. Please don't go back to the mirror
what
universe.
What about back, Daniel? There's an evil Georgiou that still exists.
You have a long list of there. Rage quit combinations, Daniel. I'm not surprised.
Please don't go back. Please don't go back. No.
But
can I still hope that Prime Lorca just shows up in the middle of the season?
I do hope so. Real Lorca does show up. I do. I really
watch. It's Prime Lorca's Pike. He's just impersonating his Pike, and it's just everyone's heads explode.
Captain Lorca, what are you doing
evil
here?
Oh, no, is number one. And
no,
we all
no.
and Daniel rage quits that day.
Did I just watch a fanfic?
Yeah. That would be a very fanficky move. Yeah.
Oh, well. Oh, cool. All right, guys. Daniel, if people want to talk about how to properly rage quit a show, where can they find you?
They can find me at One of Dan. That's the number one, not the word, as in, come on, guys. If you're going to do this, do it right.
And Darren, if folks want to know what kind of droid or robot should be included in the Discovery era Enterprise, where can they find you?
That's very true. We need a Sunian type android or something.
No, maybe they have their own robot lady on the Enterprise.
That's true. They could. They could find me on my website, drsci-fi.com, or on Instagram, Twitter, or Twitch, Dr. Sci-Fi.
And if folks want to talk to me about what other characters from the cage should survive into the Discovery era Enterprise, they can find me at NC Public Servant. All right, well, next week, Daniel, what exciting Star Trek topic will we be discussing?
Here's the thing, Philip. You need at least a black badge in order to know what we're talking about next week.
Man.
But
I shouldn't know this at all.
It will be very interesting and very exciting. I promise you that.
Oh. Well, just remember, whenever topic you choose, Daniel, go bold with it. Don't hold yourself back.
I promise I will. I promise.
All right. Well, until that next exciting Trek-filled week, I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
And I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here on Discovery Era City Alpha 3.